This is Mandy Coded Life Mastery Hacks. Here's your host, Wasim Debussy.
So tonight we have Joe Bellissimo. Joe Bellissimo is a life architect. And what Joe does is he creates vision through value. Joe's a loving father, husband, and creator of the Next Level Accountability Program. And helps people find their vision and work with that vision to the life that they want. So without further ado, I'm going to pass over to Joe to introduce himself. Joe, tell us a little bit about yourself, my man.
Yeah, sure. Look, I appreciate being called interesting. Thank you very much. Look, I think what people are probably interested in is finding out, well, all right, I'm calling myself a life architect. Well, what made me decide that that was the thing that I was going to do? And I want to tell a little story that's probably a common theme across a lot of people who'd be watching, or a lot of people who have, you know, been on a self-development journey. And it all surrounds UPW, Unleash the Power Within by Tony Robbins, which is on tomorrow, which Wasim, you'd know about because you're going there now, this time with your second son, because you remember your other son a couple of years back, didn't you?
Yep, that's correct.
So, yeah. So it was a time in my life where I was facing a lot of challenges, where I was successful in business, right, to say the least, and I had some challenges with a business partner, and this will all tie in later on when we start talking about values. But we had some challenges, and the challenges that we had meant that we had a disagreement, and after one disagreement, I'd lost access to passwords, I'd lost the entire bank account, some contracts got moved out from under me without me being aware of it. And so I went from being in a situation where I had plenty of abundance and financial wealth for my family to being at a point where I had a 4-month pregnant fiance, moving into a new apartment, which now we couldn't afford because I was hemorrhaging about $4,000 a month. So we're in a position where I had lost I had lost my purpose at that point, right? So the thing that I was good at for the last few years that was generating money supporting my family, it had gone out from under me. My friend group had disappeared because my friend group was from business. And then being in a situation where I caught my first child on the way, out of money, going to a new apartment, you're like, what am I going to do? So it was just one of those breakdown moments where you were just like, this is not it. This is not what I was working so hard to get to. The opposite of what I was trying to get to, right? I was running away from the pain. I was creating money. I was running businesses. I was the man. I was the guy that everybody spoke to that knew his shit. Then I went to the man that, well, doesn't matter if you know your shit, if you can't even support your family.
Yeah.
You know?
And I can relate to that. And the funny thing is most entrepreneurs that I've spoken to, and most people who have gone out of their comfort zone to create something or do something extraordinary or something different than what other people do, have very similar stories. We come from that pain. We come from, you know, we're doing successfully at something and they all get swept out from underneath us and we're like, fuck this. I'm never letting anybody else control my situation and control my income.
Yeah, it just...
I totally get it. I've been there multiple times.
I know. It's one of those things. And that's like I said, other people have experienced the same thing. Right, just like yourself, just like everybody that has put themselves out there. If you haven't experienced pain and failure, well, you haven't tried hard enough, right?
That's right. If you haven't failed, mate, you're not trying hard enough. If you're always succeeding, and look, I have a very, very close person in my life, and he's, look, I respect him, and I've always looked up to him, and I love him dearly. And he was very, very fortunate at a young age to have that golden touch. And everything he touched would turn to gold. It was great. And he was just like, man, nothing could go wrong for him. And for a period then, nothing can go wrong for him. Everything he touched turned to gold. And then things started to get challenging for him. And he was like, fuck, what do I do? Like, he was literally paralyzed because he'd never experienced failure before. And when he was faced with failure, he didn't know what to do. Luckily, you know, he's, like I said, he's a very, very good friend of mine, a very, very close person to me, very good friend of mine. You know, I look up to him, I love the guy, and I was able to, you know, to be there for him and work through that. You know, so I get it. Sometimes, you know, and a lot of personal development speakers and so forth, they talk about success is the worst teacher. Yeah. So tell us, what did you do when that was swept out from underneath you?
Look, I doubled down. So I was blessed that I had met a friend of mine who had introduced me to the first book that I had read, like since high school, which was The One Thing, Dan Keller. Or Gary Keller, I can't remember his name, but I know the last name's Keller. He wrote the book, and it was about achieving the one most important thing, which I weave into a lot of the things that I do today. But he introduced me to that book, and I was sort of 2-3 books in, and I learned about Kerwin Ray, and I developed myself a little bit before that sort of happened. And when it did happen, I was blessed to be semi-prepared, right? You can never be quite prepared for something like that. Like, you know, you never expect everything to be swept out from under you. But I was semi-prepared, where the mindset was already starting to make its transition. And it was the golden things don't happen to you, they happen for you, right? And you're never going to be lost and without hope if you know that things are happening for you. And at that time, I knew the idea, right? I knew it, but I didn't really know it. You know what I'm saying? Where you might have read it in a book or someone's told it to you, but it's like, do you embody it? Like, do you actually really believe that? And this is when that started to transition, where it was like, there's a lesson, something's gone wrong, now it needs to cement itself in. And there was a moment where it really clicked for me. And this is, it's not some amazing story that I've got. It was a really simple one, right? So what happened was, this was during a time when I was starting to feel a little bit depressed after the whole thing, about 2 months into the process. And, you know, I was recovering, but I was still honestly depressed. You know, as a man, not being able to provide, it was devastating. So I was home one day. My fiance had gone out to work. I decided, okay, I'm going to get some shit done. And the first thing I was going to do, I was going to go bring the car in for a service. So I drive over to the dealership. I bring the car in for service. I drop it off. And, you know, this is just post UPW last year. And not last year, sorry, in 2017. And I was thinking, you know what? I want to be healthier.
I was at UPW, by the way.
Yeah, I know you were. You told me. Yeah, you were at the 2017 one. So we're in the same room.
Yeah.
And I wanted to step up. You know the whole vegetarian thing they get you on? They get you to go vegan for about a week and see how that feels for you, right? So I'm stepping up, and I'm like, I'm going to be healthier. And to be healthier, I'm going to take the right steps. And so I said, you know what? It's going to take 15 minutes for them to get a car to drive me home, or it's going to take me 15 minutes to walk. So I decide to walk. So I walk 15 minutes, and I get home. Now, we're in an apartment complex. Apartment complex has a gate in the front. And walk up to the gate. And I can't get in. Can you guess why I can't get in?
You left your tag and your keys in the car.
Yeah, I did, right? Now, that's unusual. That's unusual. Because I don't forget things like that. I'm not like that. I'm normally really good with it because it's on a whole band or it goes in my pocket. You know when you walk out of a room and you're like, I check my wallet, my phone, my keys. And you tap each side, wallet, phone, keys, wallet, phone, keys. So I always check to make sure I've got everything with me before I leave. But I forgot it. And in that moment, you can imagine that wave of dread and fear that comes over you, where it's like, oh my God, I've lost my keys. What do I do? And this was the moment where there was a change, because for half a second I was really annoyed, frustrated, and angry. And then just this click happened. It just this snap. And I then said, hold on a minute. I don't forget my keys. So why did I forget my keys? And I started saying, well, I've been asking to be healthier. So there's a higher power here that made me forget my keys so that I could get what I was asking for, which is another 15 minute walk back to go grab my keys from the car and 15 minutes back in the other direction. And that was going from a 15 minute walk, it turned into a 45 minute walk, which was what I needed in that moment. I needed that.
That's right.
And it was that moment where I got on the phone, I was calling up some of my friends, and I said, I get it now. I got it. I get this. I really believe it, and I feel it, and I can see it, and I know it. And it's like, yes. This is the moment where I started realizing that all this stuff that I sort of saw and thought, you know what, it's a bit airy-fairy. I'm not quite into it. The energy manifestation, the greater universe and stuff like that. And I was like, you know what? I don't feel that way anymore because it's shown me. It's decided to show me truly what it's there for and that it's there to serve me. And now I really do believe it. And since then, I've been very positive about it. And a lot of my work has been around how do I take the idea of things that are more fluffy, you might say, which are less tangible, and how do I demonstrate to people that this is real? There are ways that you can back it up. You can take that and you can bring it down into reality, and that it's not something that should be disbelieved, but something that you should have faith in and use as a tool to create the life that you want to create, that you know you deserve. But it's not just the here, it's not the tangible. There's the intangible around you that you've got to be mindful of. And it's that connection that I try to teach people when I deal with them. And it was just stemmed from that one time where it's like something bad happens. I get the knowledge that I needed, and then it gets impacted into me and delivered in that right moment to make the change. And everything since that day has continued to move me in the direction of helping more people handle the kinds of things that I struggled with. That contribution, it just clicked on. I don't know how else to explain it.
Look, that is a perfect explanation. And the reason for that, have you read the book, The Alchemist?
I haven't, but I have been told by a few people to.
I highly recommend it. I put it aside for a while. It's not a massive book to read. You can probably read it in a few hours. And this book talks about a boy who goes on a journey to find his personal legend, you know, very similar to finding your purpose. And then things start going wrong. But then as the journey goes on, things start to fall into place. And exactly like you said, so many people I speak to, it's out of that pain that the greatness is born. And if we think about it, in life, out of pain we are born, out of pain we grow. So one of the things I've spoken about in the past is embrace the pain. As hard as it is, and I get it, there are days where I'm like, man, well, something just bloody move already. Okay, especially when you're working and you're grinding, you know, and look, especially when you're starting up a business like I am. I've been doing this for 6 months now or even longer, and there's a lot of hours to be done, man. And there's a shitload of stuff to be done. But then it all starts to align. It all starts coming together. You know, God starts, in this book, they talk about something called maktub, which is an Arabic word for written. You know, they say it was written. If it's written, hey, how you going, little champ? If it was written, you know, it's going to happen. And that's something very, very important. Like, you know, when we start embracing, you know what, I'm going to put my intention towards something, and then I'm going to work towards it, and there's going to be hurdles that are going to come along the way. You know, there's going to be things that are going to stop you from getting there. But then the more you push through, then everything starts to align.
But honestly, that's very powerful. And for those that don't know as well, embracing the pain.
It's a family show. I'm the only one that swears.
Now you want to talk, eh? embracing the pain. U.S. Navy SEALs or U.S. Navy or U.S. Marines, I think, they say embrace the suck. So we talk about it here in our way. And at the same time, like, organizations that are very, very serious about what they do, the serious of serious, that they control human lives, right? They're saying the same thing. Embrace the suck. Embrace the pain, right?
Yep.
It's there to serve you, not to hurt you, right? Yep. Pain is a gift. You know, you give them, if you don't have pain, I think there's a story. Oh, he's making a mess. There's a story about people that have certain types of, I think, measles or leprosy or something like that. They can't feel pain anymore, and they literally walk until their limbs fall off. Right? Wow. If you don't have pain, your life goes to shit.
Right? You mentioned the Marines, and the Marines also have a saying, which is, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Yeah, so the Marines also have that saying, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die, which means everybody wants to go, you know, they want to achieve what they want to achieve, but no one's willing to do the bloody work for it. And life will reward you for what you ask and what you work for.
Yeah. Yeah. What was the line that I used last time in the first video when we met each other? The universe cares about intentions, but the world only cares about results.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. There's a lot of steps between asking. Yep. Yeah, sorry. Continue.
That's right. Tell me, what do you actually do?
Okay. So what I do, I'll actually bring out one of my boards. This is a complete piece of work. Right? Yep. Can't really see it on the screen. I can post up some pictures later. But basically,
I post them in the comments.
Yeah, I will. I'll post it up later on. But I help people create visions. And essentially, where it came for me was that I sort of got that there was a lot of, like, you can go anywhere and you can get an exercise to create a vision board, right? Every day of the week, there'll be something on Eventbrite, go in, do a creative vision board. There are exercises on values. There's exercises on planning and goal setting and all these sorts of things, right? And I thought to myself, there's got to be something more here. There's something that brings the whole thing together. And I just looked at my life and I said, why do I make certain decisions? And why do I see other people make certain decisions? And why do people set goals and visions and then you see that not a lot of people actually follow through on it? You know, it's just, hey, here's a great idea. And then 2 minutes later, it disappears out of my head and I move on to something else. And life gets in the way. And I thought, it's not right. Like, there's something more. And so I started building my own tools and exercises. So I'm a fanatic when it comes to designing and building my own material and my own exercises, using them myself, and then delivering them to other people, right? I'm a big believer that if you use it yourself, that's when you're ready to give it to someone else. And I test all my own material. Yeah. And I started with an exercise of clarity. And look, I'm sure everybody has that friend or group of friends who, when you talk to them, they'll tell you how great life is. They'll tell you what an amazing time they're having, that, you know, I've got plenty of money, got a great job, and I've got a great relationship, and my health is great, and I'm really spiritual and things like this, right? And a lot of people will say that, and they will be there. They'll be at that place. They'll be in a great place. But then you'll notice those people that just aren't, where there's almost a sense of delusion, where it's like, well, you say these things, but you're always broke. Your relationships seem to be very superficial. Like, I see you post up what you eat, and it's like, you can't be that healthy if you eat like that, right? Mm-hmm. And everything is just a facade.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, first of all, whenever you get someone like that and you put them in a situation where they might fill out what's called the Wheel of Life, and you're obviously very familiar with the Wheel of Life, and maybe we'll share with the audience then what the Wheel of Life is, just in case. Would you like me to explain that to the audience? Or?
Yeah, definitely. Go for it, man. It's something I use with my clients, so it's definitely something worthwhile. It's also available in my free ebook. So, yeah, definitely go for it.
Yeah, beautiful. So the Wheel of Life, there's lots of different versions of it. I've got my own version. I'll put a little picture of what that looks like in the comments that are on. But it essentially just takes different components of your life, and it works out how well you're performing in those places. And the goal is, obviously, if there is a scale of 1 to 10, you want to be at a 10 at every part of your life. You want to fire on all cylinders. And if you have a wheel and that wheel is the same shape all the way through, everything's a 10, right? It's going to run really nice and smooth. But if you've got a wheel and one section is a 4 and one section's a 2 and one section's an 8 and you've got this weird polygon that's not really a circle, it's not really a wheel, it's like some sort of weird shape, and you try to run on that wheel, it's going to be bumpy as hell and it's just not going to go right. And a lot of coaches, right, a lot of coaches and teachers will use that to explain exactly what I'm talking about. You need to get your life aligned and things need to be working well, otherwise it's going to be a bumpy ride and you're just not going to perform. And I wholeheartedly believe in that, right? And so do you. It's the foundation.
100%.
But how they work, is that you got to score yourself from 1 to 10. And I said, okay, I'm not going to reinvent the wheel, no pun intended, all right, because we're talking about the Wheel of Life. I get it. I get it, all right? People listening say, hey, he's trying to be funny. I said, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to make it more objective, because the people that I really want to help are the people that have a challenge where they might give themselves a 10 where they're a 5.
Yeah.
And the only thing I changed, the only thing I changed is I just said, okay, here are some numbers and some statements. So if you're a 5, here's the statement for a 5, match yourself to the statement. And so that means that in any given group of people, those that represent themselves with a certain figure or a certain number in a certain area are likely to be very similar with the way that they are, where they're at in life. Because instead of just saying, where are you 1 to 10 and not really giving you much guidance as to what 1 equals and what 10 equals, I'll give you instructions on every section. And yeah. So it's a tool I use to be more objective, right?
That's very interesting, because you've taken it that extra step than what most people actually do, which, you know, I really like that. And I, now that you've mentioned it, thinking of it, it makes a lot of sense, because when you're leaving it open, it comes down to people's own perception and people's own, you know, goggles, if you like, of how they view their own life. And like you said, you know, yeah, like you said, one person like you, I mean, you can't really be that healthy if you're eating that all day long. And you can tell your relationship is superficial, but you think your relationship is a 10 out of 10. So I actually like that, because you've actually, you know, you've made it more substantial to what it actually means to be a 1 and what it means to be a 10. So people have a substantial scale that they can work on. I love that.
Yeah, look, thanks. I appreciate that. Would you like me to share what I discovered when people started doing this test?
100%. Go for it.
All right. So let's say that someone walks in the room and I ask them the question, where do you think you score on a scale of 1 to 10? And they give a score, and then they complete my test and they get another score, my objective score. Do you feel that people would score higher or lower than they thought?
I would assume lower.
I thought that too.
Because I think, yeah, I think it would be lower, because I think we tend to have maybe, well, it depends on the person. Some people tend to beat themselves up, so they would score, yeah. I don't know. You tell me, shit. Oh, I don't know.
Okay. So
I'm in 2 months.
This is what I experienced. This is what I experienced. 9 out of 10 people in a room, if they thought they were a 5, they might score a 7 in my test.
Okay.
And only 1 out of 10 would think they're a 7 and score a 5. I tended to see that there was a self-deprecating belief in a lot of people, where they would feel like they're not doing as good as they really are.
Okay. All right, that's interesting. Yeah. And that makes sense now that you mention it, yeah. Because we always, one of the things I've been in my discovery, hey, Ernie, how are you, brother? One of the things I've discovered in my journey is, yeah, we do actually beat ourselves up, and we are actually quite negative towards ourselves. And one of the podcasts I was actually interviewed on today, I actually said to people, you know what? If you're an entrepreneur, it's an entrepreneurial podcast. If you're an entrepreneur, one of the big things that entrepreneurs really need to do, or business people, or people in general, what we need to do is learn to forgive ourselves, because we are usually our biggest worst enemy.
That's a powerful statement.
Yeah.
That really is.
Okay. So give me one example of something that, you know, like on a scale from 1 to 10 that you use. And I know you have multiple components, which we don't have time to go through that. And, you know, people will be able to go onto your website. But give me one component.
Look, I'll tell you what they are, right? There's mind and soul, body and diet, relationships, finances, and purpose.
Yep.
Right? That's the part I use. Plus environment, which is another layer, but I don't do that in testing because I think it's too hard to judge.
Yep.
The one that most people struggle with is purpose.
Yes.
Right? I find that things like mind and soul, it can be like, you know, if you're religious, for instance, there's a certain degree of spirituality that comes with most religions. And therefore, just the act of, let's say, meditation or prayer or going to the church or going to the mosque, it gives like a certain level of underlying mental and spiritual health that people just get from the bottom, right? And so it's pretty easy. And body and diet, a lot of people have a really good idea of like, okay, well, if I eat McDonald's, I'm not as healthy as if I was eating avocados, right? They get that. And relationships, a lot of people, when you do dig down to it, they get the difference between superficial and real relationships, right? Because, you know, if your relationships are bad, you're not happy, right? A lot of people will know that they're not happy with their relationship. They'll pick it up. They'll know. And finances, everybody knows how much money they'd rather have, right?
Yeah.
Right?
It's never enough, right?
I can never spend, I've got tons of money. Very few people are in that scenario. Even though they probably have more than they really need, right? They're probably already living in abundance. A lot of people have an idea of where they sit. Purpose is where a lot of people get stuck, because the next question is always, okay, well, here's purpose, but what's my purpose? And then that whole can of worms opens up, and it's like, well, this makes the whole thing very difficult. I like everything else. Why am I here?
That's very, very powerful.
That's what catches people. That's what gets people stuck, wondering what their purpose is. That's always the most powerful part of it, because I'll walk up to someone and they might look at it and say, and that they'll have a score of one on purpose, right? So everything scores okay, and then purpose has a one. And I had one guy the last time I ran an event, and he went to me and he said, mate, I've got a one on purpose. It's so bad. And I'm like, mate, to be honest, to be at one on purpose is probably the best place you could ever be, because I remember when I didn't know and I was naive to what was out there, it was just this big curiosity. I can do anything. My purpose can be whatever. I can go there. Once you start progressing through purpose and going up the chain, right? Because once you're aware of it, you know where the end is. You know where your absolute purpose is. But when you're halfway through, you have an understanding of what you're capable of. You're off the ground, and now you have this duty to keep moving. So you're sitting there continuing to work, knowing I'm not there yet, right?
Yeah.
And frame it in a way where you're like, yes, I know I'm growing, but always in your head, you know, I'm not there yet. The person who's at the bottom, they have all that curiosity. They're ready to grow. For you, it's like, this is the grind. I'm in the hard yards of it when I'm sitting in the middle. And, you know, I don't think anybody should be upset if they don't know their purpose. I think it's the perfect place to be. Right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, knowing your purpose isn't the magic bullet. You still got to get there.
But it's very important. I mean, I know from my experience, it's been, you know, what, 20 years where life has come for a full circle for me. I didn't follow. I was fortunate enough that I had a pretty good idea of my purpose in life from a young age. I was about 16, 17, and I knew I wanted to become a psychologist. I didn't end up following that dream. You know, first day of uni, I changed degrees to a different degree. And then I spent 4.5 years at uni. I spent 1.5 years in IT, and I wasn't happy. I go, screw this, I'm out of this. And it's been 20 years almost. You know, it actually has been 20 years. I was 21 when I graduated, and I'm 41 now. So 20 years. And life has come full circle. And I found myself beginning this year without a job. And I'm like, what do? Do I go applying for jobs? And I did. And the jobs I was applying for, I wasn't really that passionate about. And my wife and I sat down and had a real hard discussion. Well, where to from here? You know, I've still got 40 years ahead of me, at least if I live to 80. What am I going to do for the next 40 bloody years? And you know what? We made the decision that this is what I've wanted to do. I wanted to do it when I was 15, 16, 17. I didn't follow my dream back then. Now is the time to do it. It's never too late. And now I've got enough life experiences to be able to help people.
You know what? That's important too, right? You weren't ready at the time and now you are.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. That's another thing is you are exactly where you meant to be. It goes back again, like, you know, just going back to, you know, a lot of the things that a lot of the speakers, a lot of writers speak about, God, et cetera, and you know, everything is written. Just trust. If you trust and you work your ass off towards what you want, things will start happening. You know, I spent the past 6 months trying to, you know, building this, And there were times like, man, I just want something to happen. And then today I've had so much great news come in. And I've had so much connections coming in, so many great discussions. And I feel now that my presence is starting to grow. But it hasn't, you know, those overnight stories, overnight successes, nobody knows how many years they were working behind the scenes before they became an overnight success.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It, to that point, can I comment on that as well?
100%, brother. 100%.
When you see it from the outside, yeah, you do. When it actually becomes real, when you notice it, is when you start seeing your friends who started when around when you started, they start to become successful. And you look at it and you're like, but hold on a minute. This guy that's up here, my friend just joins him here. I know what my friend knows. We started around the same time. We did the same things. We had the same resources. So it's like, well, maybe whatever's making this other person up here isn't some special source. It's just, it was the time, intention, the skill, and it all came together for them at the right time. And Lady Luck came together and blessed them in creating something. And it's like, now I'm looking at it, I'm like, this doesn't look so hard. But you take a couple of years back when you're just starting, you look at it, you're like, wow, this is impossible. How am I going to do this? And it just clicks once you start seeing the people around you. And that goes to another point of keeping the right kind of people around you. When you surround yourself with successful people, you're more likely to elevate yourself and become successful too. It's becoming more and more true the longer I've been around, the longer I watch.
Yep, 100%. So what impact have you found what you do does to people's lives?
Look, once you go through the whole process, it gives you clarity on what it is that you actually do, and you start seeing changes and bigger results. I've dealt with a lot of people that sort of, they'd be a high performer in many ways, but they don't seem to really cut through and create anything really substantial. And what it comes down to is, first, you've got to figure out where you are, and then you have to figure out, okay, what are my values? And I won't go into too much of this because I know that we want to keep the time. But we figure out in your life, you know, what's something that was really difficult for you and your values were being corrupted, and which values were they? And what was something that was really great for you and which values were being honored? And you start looking at your life, and when things flow, you're honoring a value. And when things don't flow, right, you're fighting against a value, right? It's like if you value honesty and you go into something that's really dishonest, and then it's just going to fall apart around you. And then you start looking and saying, okay, we've got to pull out these values. We take those values. My son's a bit upset in the background. You take those values and you put them into a vision, right? But you build it in a certain way. You build purpose first, based upon your value. So if you value contribution, your purpose has to be something where you're adding value to someone or someone, something, or to the world. And then you build underneath it. You go, okay, what are the finances I need to have in order to deliver on that vision? All right. What relationships need I have in order to support those finances and that purpose? What physical and mental well-being do I require in order to support that? And then finally, right at the bottom, what environment must I create? And all these things need to line up to your values, but they're all for one thing. They serve to support your purpose at the top. So you create a purpose based upon your values that you're not going to sabotage, because you know it's you, because you match it back to real life experiences. So we take all that. And now that we have clarity around that, we go, okay, let's make it tangible. Let's create a 12-month set of goals, and only one goal per area. And then we go and look at what rituals we can do. And so then the whole thing becomes really clear, where it's like, I've got a vision, and that vision's based upon my values. And now I know exactly the outcomes for that year that I must complete in order to put me on that pathway. And now I know in the day-to-day, what are the things that I must do in order to live the life set out in my vision. And so all of a sudden, when you live that way, you start to create things. And to answer the question about impact, for instance, the group that I was coaching, we're just coming up to the end of the current session. We were actually at a point where we started out we started the exercise, we did a couple of bits in there, we started working on rituals, we started looking at what purpose was, and then we came to a point where it's like the girls and I decided, okay, we're running an event, right? And the girls came together, and this was something where it was like not anything they would have considered at the start of it. It wasn't something that was on the radar. It wasn't something they were interested in. But once they realized that there was purpose here and all of this was to serve purpose, they had to go right for the end game. They went for it. They went in, they delivered, they created something. And so they've opened up and opportunities have started coming to them and they've started embracing their superpowers, right?
Yeah.
And it all comes to back to the fact that once you understand why, what is it that really drives you? Why are you here and what is it that you need to create? What is it that you're going to deliver to the world? Once you figure that out, everything else just starts to flow in that direction. And it's that's the powerful bit. That's the bit that I enjoy, knowing that individuals that come with me on that journey, they come out stronger on the other side and they start delivering. And it's that sense of duty where once you know that you can, you will, right? You will deliver. And you know you have to, because this is what you're here for, right? It just, as you can hear in my voice with the approaches, it's such a beautiful thing when you watch it actually happening, and it gives you such a sense of satisfaction. I'm so grateful to everybody that works with me because I get to see this beautiful change. Once again, like the start of this conversation, I don't know how to explain it. It's just, if you don't see it, like, it's just wow.
So when is the event?
So that's on the 28th. Which you'll also be being a guest at, aren't you? Guest speaker?
Yes, I'll be presenting. Yeah, I'll be presenting there. So it's on the 28th, Burwood RSL.
Yep, I'm going to hold it from 10 to 4.
From 10 to 4, we're going to have 5 or 6 speakers on that day.
Well, we're going to have myself. We're going to have Veronica. So Veronica is really, really great with manifestation. She actually studied Joe Dispenza, right? Yeah. So she's really good with that. She actually understands not only just the manifestation, but the science behind it. And she demonstrates it in real life. Like she went to Date with Destiny, Tony Robbins, and she manifested the ticket for it. Right? Wow, she manifested a Date with Destiny ticket. I'm like, what? We got Gigi, right? What she's done is she's like, if you see the rituals this girl does, she's a master of getting things done, right? She sets her mind to something and it just happens, right? Okay. I've never quite seen it that effective in an individual, and she's very well trained. She just actually finished NLP as well. And she uses the NLP together with her Reiki, because she's a practitioner of Reiki. So she's this ability to do these high-level meditations with people, and she also knows the linguistics and the programming behind it. So it's just this little powerhouse built in together. And she's just a gorgeous soul, right? And then you've got Pauline. And Pauline is also NLP trained, but she's got this special trait where she can dig in without making you feel uncomfortable, right? When it comes to like me as a man, right? And we're seeing, I don't know if you experience sometimes as well, but you know, we want to get to the point, we can be aggressive sometimes because, you know, we are results orientated people. For me, I can dig in and I can find out things, but I look at her and how she approaches it, I'm like, that's just a next level. Just somehow she can get in and really get to the core of an issue, know that it's a painful point for you, and then find a way not to make you feel like, oh, I'm inadequate, you've discovered this, right?
Yeah.
When you see her and how she talks and her story, you'll start to picture it and understand how it works, but it's almost unexplainable. I'm really proud to be working with her. And
awesome.
We've also got Raj, right? Raj. He takes the wheel of life, but he takes it from a different perspective. He's got a Hinduist background to it. So he's got a bunch of certifications in a whole different space. So while a lot of people in my network, it's like it's NLP, I've gone to Tony Robbins, I've done this, I've done that. He's gone to India. And it's like, well, that's totally new, right? Yeah. And I'm really keen to have him. And he's big on happiness, So everything he does is about finding happiness and finding that right energy.
And he does mind mapping too, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, I think mind mapping is basically the wheel of life, but it also gets into strengths and weaknesses and how you approach things, right?
And strands and whatnot. Yeah. It's something I'm working on at the moment,
That's great.
Yeah, and you're going to be talking about vision boards and creating visions based on values.
Yeah, I want to get more into the depth of that and really just what I just described to you, that's content like that, showing the boards that I've created, giving people an opportunity to talk to me to figure out a couple of things, because, you know, I can talk about it, but it's good if I bring it in and I actually talk to individuals and find out a bit about them.
Yeah.
Because I know for certain, because I've seen it before, that there are a lot of people that they're great in so many ways, but they just feel that bit that's missing. They're like they either lack clarity of where they need to go, or they lack vision, or one component of their life is just not working correctly. It's just having an impact on everything else. And I would hope that that I could really speak to a couple of those people and show them and demonstrate to them that, you know, there's a pretty clear recipe on how to do this. You know, find out where you are, figure out your values, build a vision, build your goals, create the rituals to run with that, and you take all that together, and the final bit, the bit that I didn't talk about, and this was what was really powerful for me after Tony Robbins, you'd be familiar with this, right? When you know, you go to the seminar, you spend 4 days, you're buzzed as hell, you're up here, you're in peak state, you're making your move, you're shaking that ass, you're doing all that, and then a couple of weeks later you're just back to normal life. Do you remember that ever happening?
Not the first time I went, but yeah. The first time I went, it lasted a little bit longer for me, but yeah, I definitely experienced it since then, yeah.
Well, I added, from UPW 2017, I added 500 people, 500 new Facebook friends. I doubled my Facebook friends list overnight. Wow. And I saw all the posts. I saw the positive stuff that came from it. And then there was a die-off moment where people just stopped and they weren't that interested anymore. And it was just the moment when I started reading about goal setting and motivation, and I created a group. And this was the precursor to what I do now, because now I run accountability groups, so that when you have your vision and your rituals, I then run an accountability group for you to be around people that also are working on their vision, so that you can stay together and support each other in actually doing the things that you now know that you need to do in order to live the life of your vision, right? So accountability is the strongest way in order to positively reinforce behavior. And so I created this group after Tony Robbins, and they would come to my house.
Hey Michael,
they would come to my house, and we would have lunch on a Sunday. We would talk about their week, and I actually gave them all, because one of my superpowers is making the intangible tangible. I gave them a spreadsheet which gave them a full breakdown of their rituals day to day, which then gave them a score so they could see what percentage point they were performing on a day to day basis. Right. So for the week, if you score like 50%, basically that meant that you've achieved 50% of the rituals that you knew were important for you to live the life of your vision. And when I got everyone in that room, what we noticed was we managed to keep that momentum going for about 3 months. Wow. So for 3 months, we just kept that momentum going because we met every week. We talked about our goals. We shared experiences, and it was practical, right? You had to score what you were doing, right? If you knew you need to meditate every day for you to keep in peak mental state, you had to meditate every day, put the score down, and at the end of the week, have a conversation in the room and tell us, did you do it or did you not do it? Because if you didn't do it, right, you'd be a little bit at the back of your head, you'd be a little bit embarrassed to walk up in front of other high achievers and say that you didn't do it.
Yep.
So
and that is, I love that, because that's the power of the mastermind. Yeah.
Yeah, it was so powerful. Yeah. And that's my son just trying to jump up here. Come up, boy. Come on. You want to say hi?
That's right. Look, hey, buddy, how you going there? Hello. Mate, I'm going to wrap it up here. Thank you very much. Make sure you post the link to the event in the comments, and also post your vision board.
Say bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye. So,
yeah, I'll post up a couple of things now. What time is it? Did we go over time?
Oh, we always do. Doesn't matter. There's no real time.
Oh, wow. It's like 750. I didn't notice it.
All good, mate. It's obviously a great interview, and we've had some great engagement. Mate, thank you very much. Yeah, make sure you post your vision boards, post information about your the event coming up on the 28th. I'm definitely going to be there, and we'll definitely, it's going to be a great event, I think. And I love the idea of the accountability group. It's something that we all need. Having that accountability and that mastermind is great.
Yeah, look, thanks for having me, mate. It's always enjoyable talking to you. Honestly, it is.
Thank you. Thanks, mate. All right, guys, as always, remember, your only limitation is the limitation you set in your own head. Thank you very much, Joe, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Peace out, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Mandy Coded Life Mastery Hacks. Follow us and subscribe so you never miss an episode.